Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you've been watching the news, you're not going to see this actually reported much in the media, but if you're watching social media and the stuff that kind of runs under the radar of the media, sometimes ignored because of where they may be aiming their radar, you've been seeing stuff about a bill in California. A lot of rather remarkable, scary claims have been made about this bill in California, 2943. Snopes has weighed in. Snopes purports to set the record straight when falsehoods are being promulgated about almost any subject. Did they get this one right? Joining us to talk about Snopes' reporting on California Assembly Bill 2943, Dr. Robert Gagnon. He spent 24 years as a New Testament professor at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He's author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Snopes is a Sneaky Liar about California's bill to ban Christian LGBT talk. Dr. Gagnon, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Where did Snopes get it wrong on California Assembly Bill 2943?
Well, Snopes presents itself as an impartial fact checker. You can read their article and you're quite clear they're not impartial about this at all. The whole presenting point that they want to make is move on. There's nothing to be concerned about here, you Christians. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. What they don't make clear is that there isn't really anything in the bill that would prevent it from being used against Christians. There's nothing in the bill that restricts, they call it a bill about sexual orientation change. But they define sexual orientation change as broadly as possible, meaning any effort at not only changing a person's attractions, but any attempt to change a person's behavior and any attempt to change a person's quote-unquote gender identity, by which we should understand as a code for transgender identity. So if you make any effort at dissuading somebody from engaging in homosexual practice or identifying as gay or identifying as transgender, irrespective of whether you're operating to change their attractions, you would come under the prescription of this bill if any transaction is involved. So if there's any exchange of funds, let's say you're holding a conference and you charge for the conference, you're holding a workshop, you charge for the workshop, you're holding a class in a college or a seminary at which tuition is charged for taking this course, if you are selling a book, that in which some portion of the book advocates that people should not be engaged in homosexual practice or identifying as transgender. All of these would involve transactions, and all of these would come under the letter of the law.
Okay, so it really is about what could potentially be done in the name of this law. You do make the point that it would be impossible for California to carry this thing to its logical conclusions, at least at the current time. What is your biggest concern then?
Well, they will carry it as far as they can carry it. Now, they don't have the chutzpah at this point. I don't think even they are so arrogant or so dumb that they are going to actually try to ban the Bible. But of course, the primary source for their problem is the Bible. That's the key issue, and related to that, of course, the church's use of the Bible. So now the watchword has become any effort that could be construed as shaming somebody who is, in a self-affirming way, engaging in homosexual practice, or somebody who, in a self-affirming way, is identifying as transgender at odds with their biological sex, that any expression of concern about this is construed as you're shaming the person. Now, they don't mind shaming everybody who disagrees with them. That's their primary modus operandi now, is to shame anybody who calls into question or believes anything different about their behavior than they do. But if you at all suggest any reservation about their behavior publicly, you know, that is shaming them. And if you shame them, they said, well, that's harming us. Any attempt to express any reservation about our behavior or views is harming us. Therefore, you have to be prosecuted. So they will take that, they will take the bill as far as they can get away with doing. There's nothing in the bill that would prevent them from going as far as banning the use of the Bible in this kind of area. It's just the only thing that would restrain them is the political fallout that would accrue from doing so. They'll push it as far as they can.
Is this an example of a bill that is too broadly worded, needs to be more specific, needs to be clear on what exactly it wants to outlaw, or is the problem more systemic than that?
Well, they want it to be as ambiguous as possible. They don't want to be so clear. They can't come out and say that, look, if you try to sell any books in which you express the Orthodox Christian viewpoint about sexuality, we're going to come after you and prosecute you. They can't say that because not even in a place as, and with apologies to my conservative friends in California, not even a place as loony as California in terms of the administration, the Democratic-controlled administration, is going to entertain that because they know it will be the death of, or at least a significant problem for the Democratic Party in California. So they want to keep it as ambiguous where they can claim this won't affect this orally, but not at all, but in no way inhibit the actual application of the law once it's passed. I mean, right now, they want to pass the law. They haven't passed it yet. It's gone through the California State Assembly. It's passed overwhelmingly there. The reason why is the Democrats have a supermajority in the legislature, something like 50 Democrats, 20 Republicans, something on that order. So every Democrat voted for it without exception. And all Republicans, with the exception of two or three, voted against the bill. An additional few others abstained who were Republican. But it's gone through, sailed through the California Assembly. They're fast-tracking it. It's now going to go through the California Senate. They'll fast-track that as well. It first has to go through two committees in the Senate, which will happen probably within the next couple of weeks. And then it will go to the floor of the California Senate. Again, they have an even greater supermajority, the Democrats, in the Senate than they do even in the legislature, the State Assembly. So it undoubtedly will pass the Senate. Of course, Jerry Brown is going to sign it into law. They just don't want to do anything up front right now to energize and galvanize the Christian church in California. So the author of the bill, Evan Lowe, a gay, self-described gay California assemblyman, he claims that it won't affect any book sales, any books. But he's not willing to actually put that in the legislation. He's not willing to change one iota of the legislation. There's actually nothing in the bill itself that would preclude them from coming after somebody who makes any effort in the book to deter people from homosexual behavior or transgender identification. In fact, it would surely come under the heading of a transaction. It is a transaction, it is a sale, and it is an effort at dissuading people from such behavior, which comes under the letter of the law.
Dr. Robert Gagnon is a guest. We'll take a break. We're talking with him about Snopes' reporting on California Assembly Bill 2943. He's author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics, and he's written a recent column for The Federalist titled Snopes is a Sneaky Liar about California's bill to ban Christian LGBT talk. What effect would the bill, if passed, have on what pastors teach and preach?
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write Scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Snopes reporting on California Assembly Bill 2943. Dr. Robert Gagnon is our guest. Talk a little bit about what effects this would have on religious instruction and proclamation. What, in short, what a Christian pastor, or for that matter, a Jewish rabbi or a Muslim imam, might teach or preach in the pale of their respective congregations?
I think certainly the author of the bill and those who are supporting it would argue it only affects transactions. So the question would be whether there's any monetary exchange in the course of discussing issues about human sexuality. So if a church held a conference or workshop or had a support group in which there was some fee that was asked for, then the church would definitely be liable. There's no exemption in the bill whatsoever for religious instruction. The bill is quite clear that anyone who makes any efforts at changing orientation or behavior or self-identification of the GLBTQ cause will be liable by that bill. So then the question is whether, well, if, I suppose they could eventually argue, they wouldn't do it right off the bat, but I suppose they could eventually argue that if the members of the church are asked to contribute, to tithe to the church, in effect, at least indirectly, there's a transaction taking place when the pastor then goes on to present biblical values on sexuality. I don't think that that's anything urgent that will happen right away. The bigger issue is if there's any, or if the pastor counsels anybody. That's one of two hats that the pastor wears. He's a pastor and he's a licensed counselor, and he charges any fee at all for his counseling services. That would put him up under the law's prescription as well. So I think what will potentially happen, now this happened, I don't know, Todd, have you done any program about what happened in Michigan recently?
Not to my recollection, no. Fill us in.
So in Michigan, there was going to be a workshop held at one particular church for teens talking about sexuality issues. And I think there was a fee for the workshop, like $100 or $50 or something like that. And immediately, two Michigan state legislatures called for an investigation, a full investigation of the church as a result of that. And they don't even have a bill like the bill that's being put forward in California. It didn't stop them. That's what you're going to have happen. So if a church does some sort of public event thing in which they're talking about LGBTQ issues critically, then what will be called for in the California legislature is legislators will then say, well, we have to investigate the church to see whether any transaction was involved at any point in time during this presentation. And if there is, then the church will be liable.
So a church wants to invite you to come and make a presentation on the biblical text that bear upon homosexual behavior. And they say, mm-hmm. Dr. Gagnon, what's your fee? And Dr. Gagnon, what are your travel expenses and your housing expenses? And they fly you out to L.A., they put you up in a hotel, and then they pay you your honorarium for your presentation. That would definitely fall under the purview of this proposed law.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I had thought about me being invited to be a speaker in California, and then they say, for example, took a love offering among those who were present. I'm not sure if they paid me a fee, whether that would hold them liable, because it's basically under a consumer protection law. So I suppose they could if they wanted to press it, but more likely it would be if they invited me to speak and there was some sort of, it was part of a conference or workshop, and there was some sort of fee that was charged to those who were attending. Then they could definitely go after one. Now, they may not. Again, as we talked about earlier, it may just be that they know politically that that would be unwise to do. But there's nothing in the bill that would be inhibiting them from doing such. The bill is, you know, it's a candidate for being revoked by a Supreme Court decision if it should go to that level. And I think they want to prevent it from getting to that point. So they certainly will apply it directly to mental health professionals and anyone else who charges a fee for any services connected with such dissuasion. So, but over time, they will definitely use the law. They'll be more and more bold to make use of it to apply to these other things.
Does the bill anywhere state what California's interest is in prohibiting this kind of activity?
Oh, yes, at the very beginning of the bill. They state that the California legislature, by approving of this bill, has taken the position that homosexual and transgender orientations are not a disease and they're not a disorder. So that's it's not just a question here of allowing people to have different perspectives or to live out behavior consistent with their innate desires, a live and let live approach. The California legislature has now taken the position, the Senate will soon follow in California, that this is definitely not a disorder. So it's a moral stance that they've taken. And, of course, the church's position morally is quite different. So now these are two trains moving in at each other here at this point over this issue because the church cannot accept that moral view. And they just start out by saying science has proven this. They give a series of what they claim are examples that science has proven this. I wasn't aware that science could make moral determinations. Science can contribute to moral determinations with various studies, but science is not a priori a moral force or category. They just provide data, and then ethicists and persons with religious association take that data, and they make some moral determination on that basis. But the Assembly now has made a moral determination on this question, and that puts the church at odds with the state.
Do you think that many Christians have been naive about the LGBTQ agenda, especially with regard to laws like this?
It's unbelievable. The current generation now is basically taking the attitude, and in a sense, it's hard to blame them. They've been so indoctrinated and coerced since birth with this agenda, whereas people who are your age and my age remember a time when this was not so. But they take the attitude, if we're just more loving or don't talk about this issue, it'll just go away. And it's the exact opposite. The LGBTQ forces will press this as far as it can possibly be pressed. And so sometimes the newer generation, they actually attack anybody within evangelical or Orthodox circles that wants to defend the church's position. And they become persona non grata in those circles. I can tell you that in terms of looking for employment this year, in the field of New Testament studies, the subtext that I'm getting at many evangelical institutions is that, well, we love what you're doing, but you're high visibility, and we don't want to draw attention to ourselves.
Dr. Robert Gagnon spent 24 years as a New Testament professor at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He's author of the book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Snopes is a Sneaky Liar About California's Bill to Ban Christian LGBT Talk. You can read it and The Bible and Homosexual Practice at issuesetc.org. You can purchase that book there, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Gagnon, keep up the good work, and thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Todd. Blessings on your work.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We're going to spend the first part of it with Bill McKeever talking about worldwide Mormonism. There's a recent story about Mormonism's global future. After a rough start, the deeply American religion is growing more popular abroad. We'll see how that works out with Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. And then Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us to talk about a papyrus that was discovered back in the mid-1930s that has an alternate ending to the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.